Thank you. Well, it's great to be here. I would like to talk about my favorite subject, which is 3D printing and also open source. And I was wondering, why is 3D printing so amazing and why does it stay so amazing? Because usually I have a short attention span and I get fed up with something and I want to do the next thing, but 3D printing stays interesting and fascinating. And I wonder why. So I'm going to go in my talk to a little bit higher abstraction level. I'm not going to talk as much about the technology, but a little bit about the impact of the technology. And interestingly, I think it's great that fundamentally we're creating from information, we're creating actual things. And it's not necessarily that magical process of going from information to actual things because, well, when you start out with a person with an idea, magical process, and then a thing comes out of that process, it's not about the thing, that's not the new thing. People are making things for a longer time, but it's really about the creator changing, because this is a transformative technology. At least that is what gives me the special feeling and the, I guess, the goosebumps. As a creator, you change by creating. So creation does not leave a creator unchanged. I think that's a very powerful thing, and that is completely separate from the kind of things that we can make, because those can become more amazing all the time. So I'd like to share with you, I guess, my most impressive print, my personal favorite, and I'm really proud of it. And I've contributed half of the source code, which is my my little daughter. And well, the great thing about this is another thing that if you've created something, it does not leave you unchanged. And I think that's creation, and going from an idea to something physical is pretty magical. And if you look at nature is so sophisticated, we're not even close to reaching that level of sophistication, but we can actually use it as a very powerful source of inspiration. So very interesting concepts are possible. And the idea of allowing you to, if you look at nature, it would be silly if we start with a very big block of material and we remove everything. That's not how nature works, and that's probably not how we're supposed to do it. We're not supposed to waste that much. We're supposed to build up things, make it stronger, and not out of a single material, but out of multiple materials. And then the diversity of material makes it stronger, actually, because the whole is stronger than the sum of its parts in material, but also in a community. And so I think the community and I guess this composition of material share some very interesting analogies. And I think to a large degree, it is really about community. So if you want to choose, there are a lot of things evolving, but I would pick community as one of the things that should be at the center. And all of the other things, including the printer itself, they are peripheral, they are tools, and they are very powerful tools, and they are tools that influence a lot of things. But I think the community is really what it all revolves around. And so maker community is one of the strongest communities that integrate a lot of these things that I'll talk about. Of course, materials. There are materials like very squishy printable materials. There are now bronze-filled materials. There are metal-filled materials, I mean. And so a lot of new innovations coming up in that area. Better design tools. So for example, the knowledge you need to make a certain design is greatly reduced if you have a sort of a wizard-like interface. And that's something we're helping to develop together with the Enable community, and I'll talk about that more, to make it just really easy to create actually a custom hand, sort of a prosthetic device like this. And so I've actually been using a tool that we've helped develop ourselves to make a hand for a little girl that lives in the Netherlands. And that is a very powerful, very cool thing to be able to do. And the girl really likes it because she had an influence on the process. She was able to choose the colors, and she's able to see this evolve. And it's not something that she's just a recipient of something someone else has made, and then she has to wear it. But it's something she can really have a hand in, I guess. Maybe a poor choice of words, but still. And then we're also working to evolve the sharing platform. So Ultimaker is a founding sponsor of the company Umagine, and Umagine is really, I guess, a company made for communities, for one like Enable, but really for people to start collaborating more, and not just putting STL files out there, but really evolving designs, working together. And so it's not about making something that is directly printable. It's also about this evolution itself. And then a very interesting other kind of thing that is popping up phenomenon is production networks, completely distributed production networks, which are really powerful. So if everybody who has a 3D printer isn't using it all the time, then you could use that idle time of your printer and just produce for other people. And then you could really produce locally. So the only thing you would be shipping around is materials, and that is pretty powerful. So is it about the 3D printer? I don't think. It's nice to make a really nice box, but it's, in a way, it's a box. And it's not just about what about the box itself, but it's also not just about what happens inside the box, what you can make with it. It's also about thinking outside of the box. And I have a very nice video of an example of that. Because in a way, if you have a system that is malleable, that you can change into other things, and an open source is a great example of that, then you can make it more powerful yourself. And you can actually not just use a 3D printer, but really redefine what 3D printing is to you. So this is something a friend of ours, Joris, has done. He literally thought out of the box by not just printing on the platform inside the printer, but put the printhead upside down, and then put the whole printer upside down, and then actually lifting the printer with the normal motor that it normally uses to lower the platform. So with 5 printers, he printed, this is actually the first 3D printed petition. So it was a petition against animal cruelty. And so we collaborated with Joris. Joris did most of the work. And so he literally made an elephant, a full-sized elephant. And so I think it's also the first print of this size made with just a few printers in a week. So, and then there's another project, a couple of pioneering architects, Dus architects in the Netherlands we're working with. They're also doing really impressive things. And so we've helped develop the internals of the machine, so the motion platform and the extruder to some extent, to create housing. So this is the printer called the Kamermaker. And the interesting thing is sometimes you could use the same G-code for a small printer, put it in the big printer, and then instead of printing something like this, you print a whole section of a building. And so it's all parametric design. So actually, by changing some parameters without having a whole lot of knowledge, you can actually make your own building that is completely customized for you. And then it can be printed in modules that you can just, well, you're not snapping them together, but you're bolting them together like Lego. So you can actually renovate your house by printing a new part, printing a new room, and then just replacing the room. So it's taking Lego to another level, I guess, which is really fun. And so let me see if I can get my slides back. Sorry. A little bit of lag in here. So it's not just about a printer, not just about thinking inside of the box. And this idea that you can redefine things, that is actually a very critical thing. The rules have not really been set. It's only set if you believe that they are set. So, and also, I guess it's really about human motivation and the fundamentals of human. And I guess sharing is something we teach our kids. And if we teach our kids to share and we don't do it ourselves, that's a really strange thing. It's actually, if you talk about imagination, Einstein once said, imagination is more powerful than knowledge. And if you talk about the next generation, then that generation doesn't have necessarily all of the knowledge. But if they have the imagination and they have the tools, and not just tools that are fixed, but tools that are their own tools and that they can really own and they can evolve themselves. And that is the most powerful thing. So for sharing recipes, I've told you about Umagine a little bit, so I'll skip this part. But sharing recipes is a very powerful thing. It's not just sharing the actual design for printing that single thing, but it's really also sharing a starting point for the next person. It can be sharing just the inspiration of making something not just to cut a cookie, but also to impress it with your own logo on it or anything else. So it's really a lot about inspiration and imagination. So that's really the reason why we're doing this, but also to exemplify why we're doing this, I have another very short video, which is something I just have to tell you about because it's such a beautiful community. So this is an example of what has been done in the Enable community. Enable is about making 3D printable hands, but it's not just stopping with hands and these kinds of prosthetics. It's really about making not somebody who feels like they're disabled, but really making them part of a process where they are part of making a new hand. So it's a very different thing. And so the kids that actually get to wear these hands, they actually are more popular, instead of that they're a strange kid and they have something and they're holding their hand behind their back. In this case, they're showing it off. And so we're hosting a tool called the Hand-O-Matic, which is a tool that allows you to customize the 3D models. And so this is a mock-up, but it's something we're working towards, having a 3D view of what you want to make right there. So you can actually overlay that at some point over the image of your hand and really have that made custom fit. And so a few weeks ago, we went to the Johns Hopkins conference. We were a sponsor there for an event. And at that event, we made 72 hands. So all these kids, they got to the event and together with their parents or with friends, they started making these hands. So I think it's really brilliant. And it's very different than the normal, I guess, medical process. You're not getting the same thing. It's a very different experience. But the kids really love that kind of... It's not really a prosthetic. They love their new hand. So this kind of empowerment is really why we're doing this. So we're creating these tools, but we shouldn't really think about just making a 3D printer, because that's a very limited view. So it needs to work very well in terms of workflow. So Enabling the Future is the name of that community. And to go to the higher level of abstraction, it feels like this is something fundamental, that is something we finally have control over again. And the thing that happened since the apes, since we've derived off of that, the one big change is the fact that we have tools now. And it's not just tools, but we are crafting our own tools. So we're not just picking up a rock and just throwing it. But something happened in the meantime. So we started shaping tools, but tools have also started shaping us. And I think that's the more profound thing. It's a co-evolution of the things around us. So these kinds of tools were really, really rough, but they are the precursors of other kinds of tools. And the reason why we have these tools is because there was a mutation at some point, which is very favorable to our species, because we could, with an opposable thumb, we could manipulate more complex objects and start making our own objects that were our own tools. And that is an interesting effect, because then, with that manipulative capability, we were required to have a bigger brain, because we started to think of the tool as just an extension of ourselves. And that is happening with more and more tools. So a lot of people, if they lose their phone, it feels almost like you've lost something very critical. So I call that, a lot of people call that the extended phenotype. So that is a concept for something that feels almost natural to you, and it's almost part of you. And those are the right kind of tools. Those are powerful tools, because they become almost part of you. And the ability to manipulate and craft extended, because it's a feedback loop. The bigger brain, and then the tools become increasingly powerful. But it's not just this that has happened. This has been the majority of our evolution of our species, but it's also gone in a different direction. So the phones that we have right now, we can customize maybe the apps that we run on it. Some apps will be pre-installed, especially if you have Apple in there. So the amount of control we have over them can become actually limited. So is this really a revolution, or is it also... It's not an undifferentiated good thing that is happening, actually. It's not just progress. So yes, it's a revolution, but it's not exactly the way we probably want it. So if you look at it, for over 200,000 years, we've been a species that has evolved with our tools. And now there has become a separation between the ones who make, and, for example, the ones who think of designing something and design it, and then the ones who actually make it. And there's also a split between the ones who have the capability to manufacture, the ones who own the factories, and the ones who operate the factories. And that split actually creates a disconnect. So we, at some point, became consumers, and that is really a new phenomenon, especially if you look at it from a historical scale. So we have products that are made in China but designed in California, and we have, I would say, we don't. At some point, there was actually, for example, the printing press is such a powerful technology. At some point, it was outlawed, so you could not have a printing press. So those technologies are powerful, and they are being constrained at some point as well. And this happened throughout history, even the ability to read and write. So we should really care about these kinds of things. So what went wrong with this disconnect? I think if we consume things that people have made that we don't really know, that makes it almost certain that it's not a very good fit with what we want to have. And if really something becomes a centralized skill as, or something that is centralized and that a certain profession is allowed to do, then you're losing out on a whole lot of diversity and innovation compared to when a lot of very different people are collaborating together. And of course, we're not used anymore to repairing stuff. We either send it back or we just buy something new. And that's something we really should change. And if we try to actually open something up, a warranty is voided. So all of these things, we have a problem in here, but we're not all completely at loss, especially if you look at this maker community, because making really is still in our DNA. It's really a very short historical period where we had a revolution, and we lost some abilities, but we still have it in our DNA. So making is in our DNA, but we only have to reawaken it. And that's what we are doing right here. And I think this whole maker movement is this kind of reawakening. It's this realization that the thing that we loved, that we should just start doing that again, and that we are actually able to be in control of the things around us. And so I think on a deeper level, that is also what 3D printing and open source is allowing you to do. And it's just an example of that, but it's a really powerful example. So if you look back, for example, the computing history, that it has a very good analogy and teaches us lessons about how much control we can have over technology. Basically, very few people had control over the very complex centralized computers, so it was used for very, very serious purposes. And then at some point, it became more affordable, and it became more accessible, and everyone could have one. And then completely new paradigms of computing started to emerge, where you could just download an app or have an app pre-installed by Apple for you. Which was very hard to remove. So it's not all progress. And so we don't have full control over the things that we use. And I don't know if it's necessary to have full control, but it's really important to understand how much control we can lose. And the same thing could happen with 3D printing. There's already a lot of talk about DRM and 3D printing. And of course, there's possibly a need for solving the problem of authorship and investing in knowledge. But you can also see that if you share There's a very different set of motivations to create for than monetary gains. So, but you have the same trend here. You have very big centralized systems, of more affordable systems, more easy to use, and then at some point, very, very powerful solutions. Of course, the previous one was powerful already, but this one could even be less powerful, but because somebody else might decide what you actually are allowed to make. So this is not just an undifferentiated trend of progress. So we have to be aware of that. So the rate of development since, for example, the Revera project really took off has really been very high. So, for example, this was my kind of personal history, starting out with RepRaps and then finding a few friends who also wanted to make a different kind of machine that was easier to use and easier to assemble, because back then it was just a kit. And now we have a fully assembled machine as well. We still have the kit. We're still upgrading that kit. But we've expanded to make it much, much easier to use. And if you look at the quality, there's also a very, very strong development here. So also in terms of materials and the complexity of things you can make. So it's really getting pretty powerful. And I think if you look at this hand right now, maybe it will be funny to see this hand in a few years already. Because it's just outdated, and actually a few months ago, this hand would not exist yet. So this is all very recent developments. So, and I think the most important thing is not necessarily about what we can make, because that is really expanding all the time, but it's really about hookahmaq. It's about really getting this ability very close to you and really making that a natural tool for yourself, because that's when it gets really powerful. And so it's also about really the maker community, because we develop things in a different way than a company might do. We are very agnostic about which solution is the right one for us, because if you don't have too much knowledge, you don't have the burden of knowledge as well, because you can look for any kind of solution. And you can actually, what is very common in makers is that you value the learning process over being educated in some area in advance. So that's really pulling the knowledge instead of having it pushed towards you. And that creates very much more diverse and creative solutions. And you really develop for yourself. So this is a completely different context. You share by default, and that also gives very different results. And so these kinds of hands are popping up now. So a kid can now really have that Iron Man hand, and actually having a useful hand, but also one that really looks cool. And so this becomes a development platform. You have a development platform on your wrist. That is pretty cool. So I think this is one of the few cases where actually, I guess, if you're missing fingers, then some people will be jealous of you. That's really strange. But this is how it works. You can bend the wrist, and it's similar to this version. So if you bend the wrist, the fingers will grip. And so in this case, it could activate lasers or LEDs. And it could even be voice controlled. And of course, you need propulsion as well to be able to fly. So these are just really cool things that are being developed, and more people are sharing these very cool things. So we're actually really empowering the next generation of makers through these tools. So I would encourage you to think about these tools, and I believe for us it's really a privilege at Ultimaker to really help make this happen. So thank you.